First Kings chapter 8. First Kings chapter 8. I'm going to invite you to stand if you would. We'll read the Word of God this morning. If you'll go all the way down to verse number 54. First Kings chapter 8, verse number 54. We'll begin reading there. Verse 54, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people, Israel, at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord your God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandment as at this day. Then we'll leave off there and bring our message. Here we are on December 31st. Not only is it the last Sunday of the year, but it's the last day of the year. And of course, when you come to an end of a year, you start thinking about possibility of what you've accomplished throughout the year. And hopefully you have many things that you can look to this past year and call them accomplishments, and thought you're grateful that the Lord allowed you to do certain things and bring things about. And maybe you just look over the year and see what all the Lord has done. And hopefully you have a good opportunity to look back and realize that God has been good to you. God has brought you through some things. God has allowed you to have some victory over some things. But it's common to get to an end of the year and look back and see what things have happened. And of course, with anything, we know that there have been some difficulties. There's been some trials. There's been some heartache along the way. And you can't help but think of those things as well. And of course, that's what our mind does. We often think about missed opportunities. We often think about lost opportunities and just different things that have happened throughout a year. And sometimes we notate certain years of our life because of a significant incident that happened that year. And the further you get away from it, you still look back and realize that was a year that something happened. It's common to do, and we do that as humans quite a bit. But also, as we come to a closing of a year, let that be an opportunity to close the year and start a new year as we get into 2024. I still remember when the Y2K bug was scaring the whole population of Earth about what are we going to do when the computers turn to 2000. And here we are 24 years past that moment. And but again, as we think to a new year and think about the things that are to come, hopefully you're making plans for some things to come. I know Brother Combs talked about that in Sunday school, about the possibilities of things that will happen here in this new year. And of course, like I said, I've always thinking about the moment that maybe this is the year that the Lord comes back. What a great testimony that'll be. What a great, obviously, that's what we're, our blessed hope, what we're looking for, is the fact that our Lord calls us home to be with him. And maybe this is that year. So if that's the case, hopefully you're planning accordingly. And we should be, right? That should be what we do as we look for his appearing, that we're planning for him to come back. And hopefully we're not leaving anything undone. We're not leaving anything undealt with, that we're taking care of all those things so that if he does, and should he come back this year, we're ready for him. We're excited for him, and that takes place, and we have much to be rejoicing about. But with each coming new year, many folks are inclined to make certain purposeful changes. We think about that. I want to do this differently in the coming new year. I want to try this new thing in the coming new year. And it maybe even call it a resolution. Maybe even you call it that and say, this is what I'd like to do. Now, there's plenty of things that we just repeat over and over and over again, right? I'm going to try that again this year. And the things that we do call resolutions, I think we're at the point of maybe I can hold out till February. right? Accomplish it. Maybe I can make it till February this year and do that thing that I've been resolving to do. But we think about the new year and the specific things that we have in place and the things that we'd like to do and like to accomplish. Maybe it's a personal change. Maybe it's a habit that you'll change in your lifestyle or in the things that you do. But we try to make new changes. We think about making new changes as we go into a new year. But however, when it comes to our wishes for someone else, we think not on ourselves, we think about other people, and we look to someone else, typically we just have one thought that we have for them. I wish you health and happiness. That's what we wish for people. Hey, I wish you good health in the new year, and I wish you happiness in the new year. And so that's my message this morning. I wish you health and happiness. I guess we can be dismissed now, right? Amen? No. I wish you health and happiness throughout this new year. We like to wish people good health. It seems like so many people are struggling with health. Whether it be just a minor illness or a seasonal illness or really a disease or something that's taking you down. But we like to wish good health on people. We want people to get better. We want people to get well. And then we like for people to be happy or prosperous, we may say, as we say every year, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. We want people to have a happy new year. Actually, we get that from that pattern from our Heavenly Father. That's what He desires for us. And don't get me wrong, I'm not doing a prosperity gospel message here, but the Lord said, I come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what God wants for the people that He created, the people for His fellowship. He wants you to be healthy and He wants you to be happy. And He has the prescription in His word for that very thing. His desire for each of us is to be healthy and happy. Of course, His idea of health and happiness is much different than what we might say or our world has come to know. And of course, we learn that from Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 8 and verse number 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so we understand just that very proclamation to health and happiness from the Lord's perspective is going to be quite different than what we might say or what mankind has come to say upon this earth. Again, health being the critical thing. We always talk about health. When it comes to the mind of God, when it comes to understanding of God and what we learn through Scripture, health is really about being saved. If we think eternal death, and we know eternal death is separation from God, God does not want to see that. God does not want that for anybody. He wants people to be saved. Jesus Christ said, I am come, again, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And we learn from the Scripture. That's how we know the mind of God. We have that verse of Scripture right there. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Well, if His thoughts are higher than our thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways, how are we to learn what God wants? Aren't you glad He was faithful to give us His Word? He gave us the Bible. He gave it to us so that we could know what His thoughts are. We can know what direction in life we should be taking or what things that we should be partaking in as we live our days upon the earth. And so He tells us right away, Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. There's no worse condition than that right there. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we think about that, and of course, the world has no understanding of it. The world has no idea. The Bible teaches us that they're condemned already. If you're not saved, if you're without Christ, you're condemned already. Obviously, they have no understanding of that. They need somebody to come tell them, somebody to come let them know of the condition that they are in. But God lets us know through His Word that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That immediately separates us from God. We know that we are sinners and He is holy and He is righteous. We have that differentiation from the Word of God from the very, very beginning. Of course, we go on into the New Testament. The Bible teaches, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not only are we sinners, but we're not right. But we can't produce righteousness. We're not right on our own. We can't do anything that is right. The Bible clearly tells us that we're not right. We're not righteous. And then, of course, going on further, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Just in case you thought you were outside, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So since God knows that's our condition, and God's desire is that we do experience good health. God wants us to be saved. God had made a way. Of course, he tells us in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. God knows our condition, and God wants to do something about that. He wants to save you. This is the eternal sickness that God wants you to be healed from. And we know that from what the Scripture teaches us. I mean, yeah, it's one thing for us to know our condition. It's one thing for us to know our situation. But that's another thing to know that God wants to change that. God has a plan in place for that. And we learn that from the very basic Scriptures that we're taught from a young child all the way through our living. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We learn still further, 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we learn easily through Scripture that God wants us to be saved. And to me, that would be good health. I mean, if you're going to be in eternal death for all eternity, that's not good. That's not the place you want to be in. So God does want us to be saved, and he's done everything necessary for our salvation. So that's a word I want to get across to you first this morning. And I know it's a message you've heard 12 times, 100 times, and maybe quite a few thousand times. But again, I want to be able to stand in this pulpit, as I always have, and say that you must be saved. You must be born again. God wants everybody to be saved. There's nobody beyond his reach, nobody beyond his scope. God wants everybody saved. So now, building from that, God wants us happy. I believe God wants us happy. Again, Jesus says, I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So our text this morning is the account of King Solomon dedicating the temple. A great moment throughout history, a great moment in Scripture as we see that come to pass. God dedicating a temple. So God has always wanted a place for his people to meet with him. That's what we learn through Scripture. And you know what? We cannot have true happiness apart from his presence. It's just not possible. So when God says that I want you to be happy and I want you to be healthy, God's offering you himself to do that. God offers himself to you because he knows that you as a created being, you as a sinful person, cannot experience health and happiness apart from him. And so he offers himself to you. He offers himself freely to all people that you may partake of him and experience life freely. And so what we have here in this passage here is a transition from the wilderness tabernacle, which David knew. Then we go into the Temple Mount, which is what David desired. But all of that was because God wanted a place to be able to dwell with his people, so that we can experience his presence. And again, we just cannot have health and happiness without God's presence. And God offers that to us. And so we learn that through Scripture. And so God has dealt faithfully with us. He's faithfully shown his people that he desires for us and for his people to be prosperous or be happy. And he also has commanded us just how we should be happy and prosperous. I'm glad to know that as well. I don't have to go finding out or doing a deep dive or deep archaeological dig or search or anything. I go right to God's Word and find out exactly how I can be in fellowship with God and therefore be happy and be joyful throughout life. We read Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all. And there's the key right there, all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And see, that's the problem we do run into, because we don't want to give in to all that God has said. He talked a little bit about Sunday school. Hey, sometimes we come to God and say, God, this is what I'm going to give you, and you're just going to have to be satisfied with it. And can I tell you, there's no happiness there. Cain found that out. Matter of fact, I think Cain lived by the mantra that it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. You've heard that said throughout our days, right? People say it all the time. Oh, it's so much easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission. How did that work out for Cain? Because when it got to the time of asking for forgiveness, his countenance fell, and he never asked for it. Hey, I think the psalmist calls that presumptuous sin. I'm going to go ahead and commit a sin knowing that it's wrong, and then I'll just say, God, would you please forgive me? My, oh my, how Christians have tried to manipulate God into dealing with us the way we want to, instead of learning how God wants us to deal with Him and just following suit. And I think that's where Christianity stands in a lot of places. A lot of churches stand right there, is that we try to manipulate God into something we want instead of learning what He wants from us and following exactly those things. Do according to all that is written therein. Oh, I'd love to cherry pick it too. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to love my wife all the time. I'm just kidding. I do. I get to love my wife all the time. But you know what? The scripture tells me to do so as well. So I like doing that, and it puts me in good graces with God. Amen. I'm following His word. But that's the thing about it. God gave us His word so that we can know exactly what pleases Him. Can I tell you what does please God? Faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Are you doing anything by faith? Hey, are you endeavoring to do anything by faith this new year? Can I tell you, if you're not, then you simply won't please God. I used to use that verse, especially when I left here. I don't know if y'all remember, but I left here. I grabbed Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it's impossible. Yeah, so I'm going to go up there and start a church. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to venture out on this ministry here. And I'm going to, by faith, because without faith, it's impossible. And you know what I learned through that process is that verse is just a little bit longer than I was giving it credit for. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Oh yeah, what I envisioned or what I wanted to do up there didn't work out. But I do know that by my faith, I can still please Him. Through acting faith, through a fervent faith and acting by faith, I can still please God. And you tell me, if you're pleasing God, do you think you're going to be happy or unhappy in that situation? Hey, if you're not pleasing God, are you going to be happy or unhappy in that situation? So again, we learn that we please God by faith. And that brings us into a place being in tune with God's will, in good fellowship with God. And that's the only way we can have true happiness, is being in fellowship with God. Matter of fact, Jesus tells in John 14, verse number 16, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Because God wanted His presence to be with you. God knew that if His presence wasn't with you and fervent with you, that you couldn't be happy. That you couldn't have true joy. That you wouldn't be going through life fulfilling His will for your life, and it would be a difficult time for you. Hey, there's plenty of people who've made decisions counter to the Word of God who found out the hard way, this isn't a happy life. This isn't a pleasant life. Oh, this didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. This didn't turn out at all like I had envisioned. I wish I'd have just stuck to God's word and followed God's word. Hey, there's been many a churches that decided to go counterintuitive to God's word and found out very quickly that they're no longer a church the way God had designed that church to be. And they became an afterthought. Probably closed up the doors or became liberal or became some other facet of worship that did not show anything pertaining to God. Again, we do what we do because it's God's word that tells us to do it that way. And we have that privilege because God wants His presence with us. He wanted that. He desired that. Now think about that. All the ways that God throughout the Old Testament showed how He wanted to be with His people. And I think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming as we just celebrated the fact that He did come to this earth. And of course, we celebrate it all the time. But we have a time of year that we would give a special attention to it. But he says, "I'm come that you may have life, you may have it more abundantly." And we realize that God has always wanted a place where He can meet with His people, because He knows that our true enjoyment in life, our true purpose in life cannot be fulfilled apart from His presence. And then we hear that proclamation in Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18, where Jesus says, "I will build my church." Hey, that's who we are this morning, right? We're His church. We're the place where He comes and He meets with us, and we meet with Him, and we enjoy His presence and His fellowship, and we live our lives according to His purpose, and therefore we are pleasing unto Him. And when we please Him, it should bring joy to us. We should bring that special, you know what it's like when you obeyed your parents and you pleased them throughout life and you did something they were proud of? You felt good about it, right? Surely you did. Man, I can't believe I made my mom happy again this morning. Just nobody ever thought that, did they? Nobody ever came across going, I made my parents happy again today. I guess I'll try worse tomorrow. No, we enjoyed making our parents happy. We enjoyed making people proud of the things that we were doing. And it should be that way with God. We should revel in the fact that we are pleasing Him. But He says, I will build my church. And that's who we are. God no longer requires one place for everyone to come to assemble. He now has local assemblies where people are found, and they're established with Christ as the head, and its members are subject and submitted to Him, and we are His church. That's where happiness is, being a part of His church, being in a place where He's moving, and that's the way He moves throughout the world today, is through His local church. We know that. We believe that from Scripture, that He moves through the local church, and it should be a thrilling, rewarding feeling to know that we're part of what He desires, what He wants, and we're being used by Him in this world today. I don't know about you, but if you look at the landscape of the world around us, all the current events taking place, does that not solidify your faith in God's Word? I mean, that's what I do. I tell my people, I said, listen, they ask about this and ask about that situation. I said, well, if you read your Bible, if you read and you have an understanding of what's going to take place in the as what we call future times or end time events, that should solidify your faith in what God is doing. Hey, I didn't know how it was going to happen. I just believed that it would happen. But now I'm looking, going, okay, this is how God's going to bring all that about. This is how it's all going to come about together. But I still believe that God designed and God had a purpose, and God's Word was going to be faithful. God's Word was going to happen. And so as I'm a part of His church, part of the assembly that He has for me, I'm still living and fulfilling the purpose He has for my life. Because God has a plan. Even in 2024, God has a plan and purpose that He wants to accomplish. Even if it's for one day. Even if all we get is January 1, 2024. He has a plan for that day. Are you going to be in line with fulfilling what He has for you? Are you going to be in place and have the things necessary to fulfill what God wants to do in this country or around the world in 2024? Now, here in this passage here, there was great pomp and ceremony at the dedication of this temple. And the place where God's people will assemble should be filled with His presence. And so I want to give you four thoughts this morning. I know we're just at the noon hour, but my introduction is always longer than my points are. So they'll be. I got smiles there. That's good. Amen. So I'll just go ahead and say it now. I'm almost done. But I want to look at some thoughts about having that happy life or having a happy church. If I can give you four thoughts this morning on having a happy life or a happy church and go along with the theme to health and prosperity or to health and happiness, first and foremost, you must be saved. That's not point number one. That's obviously without any points. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you'll never know God's presence. You'll never know what true happiness can be because you're lost and undone. You're condemned already. So if you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. Please, please call upon the Lord to save you. Let somebody show you from Scripture how you can be saved. And once you're saved, God desires for you prosperity. God desires for you, for this church, happiness. And I'm going to give you four thoughts that this church and every church should have as the purpose of going forward. First of all, can I give you a faultless goal? There should be a faultless goal. Look at verse number 58 in our text this morning. That He may incline our hearts to Him to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments which He commanded our fathers. Notice He commanded their fathers to do that, so it didn't change from generation to generation. It stayed the same. That we do what? That we follow His Word. Hey, that should be our goal. The faultless goal that we have, the goal that does not fade away, that should not be kicked to the side, is that we follow His Word. Hey, in your personal life, in the life of this church, it ought to be all about following His Word. If not, what are you going to follow? Hey, what's as faithful, what's as pure as His Word? What are you going to follow if it's not His Word? Hey, again, many people have made decisions outside the Word of God, and they're now trying to pick up the pieces. They're not, where do I go from here? How do I get back on the right scale? How do I get back to doing what God would have me to do? And it all goes back to, I just decided I wasn't going to follow God's Word. Cain is a glaring example of what it's like to not follow God's Word. You can go all throughout Scripture and find people who didn't follow God's Word. And you know what? We learn from Romans chapter 15. The things written aforetime are for our learning. Dr. Smith says it, he said it quite a bit when I was there. A wise man learns from his experiences. And you do, right? When you go through something, you learn from it. But a wiser man learns from somebody else's experience. I ain't doing that. I saw what he did. I ain't going to do that. Of course, a fool never learns is the finish of that. But again, we learn from what we read. Hey, if we read about certain characters in the Bible and they did things outside of God's Word, we shouldn't do that. Let that be known. What not to do. Boom, right there. But again, have a faultless goal. Following God's Word, it is not going to let you down. It's not going to change. It hasn't changed all these generations. It's not going to let you down. Follow God's Word. Like I said, that He may incline our hearts. Hey, that my heart would lean the way He would want me to go. What happens most of the time, even in Christians' lives, we go contrary to Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. We don't do that, do we? We lean unto our own understanding. And when we do that, if we lean to our own understanding and we fall, we usually fall away from what God's Word is. So we should allow God to incline our hearts to His way. So if I do fall, if I do stumble, if I do trip up, I failed the direction He wanted me to go. God's Word is faultless. That should be your goal, to follow God's Word. You know, I think about the psalmist who said, here's, try my reins, try my heart. You think about the reins aspect of it. As a rider rides a horse, he just pulls the reins and the horse goes that way. Pulls back and the horse stops, you know, and pulls this way and the horse goes that way. You think about those show horses, those equestrian show horses that do all those tricks or whatever. Have you ever seen the dynamic between the rider and the horse on that? I mean, there's not some big flare and big pull and big show of things. It's just a tug here and a tug there, and the horse just knows what to do. He's so in tune with his rider that he just goes the direction, what is the rider called? The rider. We'll just call him the rider. That's all we can do at this point. But as he pulls it, he just goes that direction. But it seems like many Christians, as they go through life, are going against God's pull. God will tug this way. God will tug that way. And there's so much resistance going on. It looks kind of funny, actually, and I mean, tragically funny, is that the whole time God is pulling, you're just trying to fight God's pulling and going a different direction. From the pastor's point of view, many people in the church look like that. I mean, not physically, but spiritually they do. You see, the Lord's trying to pull them this way, pull them that way, and then they are fighting it. They are struggling with it. They're just fighting the resistance the whole time. And it looks comical, tragically. So what should we do? The faultless goal is to follow His Word, that He may incline our hearts unto Him, to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgment. You know, the more and more we go in life, the more I run into people outside the world or outside the church, I'm sorry, and people that are part of congregations. And you know what I'm talking about when I say that. They give me their ideas of what certain parts of God's Word says. And I'm like, well, it makes sense now. If you think that's what God's Word is saying, that's why you're living the way you're living. That's why you're doing the things that you do, because obviously you didn't incline your heart to God. You decided to take God's Word and make it fit to where you were leaning. They say, well, this applies to me this way, or we just don't really believe that anymore. We don't really look to that anymore. I'm like, it's clear. It's plain as day what God's Word is saying, but yet so many people incline their hearts away from God that they're not following His Word. And I'm just going to say, as an individual Christian or the life of the church, if you're not following God's Word, it's going to be noticeable, and it's going to be evident, and it's not going to be a happy time. It's not going to be a prosperous time. Because number two, we have a faithful God. The individual that's happy in life has a faithful God. The church that's happy as it moves forward has a faithful God. Look at verse 59. And let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night. God doesn't go anywhere day and night. I don't know about you, but when you go through some difficult times or you go through those seasons of life, does it thrill you at all to know that God's there with you? Amen. Maybe God went there before you. And He was there waiting on you. Hey, we get to the point where we're like, why is this happening to me? Why? We ask that all the time. Why is God doing this with me? What Job says was, He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. No trial, no gold. So don't ask why. Maybe get excited. Hey, God's bringing me. God's already there. He's bringing me through something because He's faithful and He's bringing about gold. He's bringing about something pure, something precious, something that's valuable to not only myself but to other people because God is faithful. No matter what you're going through. I know it may not seem savory at the moment. It may not seem, as you look back, you thought you grabbed a hold of everything that God wanted for you. But understand God's faithful. And if God is faithful and God is holy and right and He's just and He's fair, then maybe He has a purpose for you that goes beyond who you are. Maybe God wants to bless somebody else in life and He's going to use you to do so. Maybe God has something that somebody else needs to get them back in line with serving Him and following Him completely and wholeheartedly. Hey, we have a faithful God. Just trust that He knows what's going on. Trust that He has a plan and purpose for all that that is to take place. Because if you believe for a moment that God's not faithful, I can't imagine for a moment that you're going to be happy in life. I mean, if you're going through life as a born-again Christian thinking God's unfaithful or God's not fair or God's not right, there's no happiness there. There's no fruitfulness there. So know that you have a faithful God. The church that's happy and fruitful and prosperous going forward, the individual that's happy and fruitful and prosperous going forward knows and believes you have a faithful God that is bringing about something for your good and His glory. Number three, can I tell you that we have a fervent gathering? Hey, the church that's going to move forward happy is a fervent gathering. There in verse number 59 again. Again, we're talking, I'll just read the verse again. Let these my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that He maintain the cause of His servant and the cause of His people Israel at all times. Well, His people were known, right? I mean, really no question on who God's people were. It was always in the Old Testament. It was always Israel. There was no question about it. God's people. You know what? There should be no question who God's people are in this day and age that we live in. There should be no question to the people outside these walls that we here at Lighthouse are God's people. Man, it should be, hey, we should be a fervent gathering. Hey, we should be, and it was exciting. It was good to be here. Reminded me of some of the days I experienced years ago to come and see all the activity, the singing, the fellowshipping, the kids running around. Hey, have you ever been in a church where there's no kids running around? Boy, yeah, it's noticeable. I know there's people that look back, why are those kids running in the church? Why are those kids doing this? Why are those... Hey, I'd really be asking that question or looking at the fact I'm dealing with that than no kids running in the church. No kids walking around. No kids bumping into people. No kids smudging donut on him. Right? Hey, if you go to church and don't get no donut on you, then there's no kids involved, I guess. So make that your goal this year, to get donuts smudged on you at some point. Amen? But it's a fervent gathering. That's a prosperous church going forward. And then lastly, let me say this. Verse number 60. A fruitful, fervent, prosperous church has a fruitful greeting. A fruitful greeting. that the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. What's our purpose? To make sure the world around us know that there is a God. To make sure the world around us know that they can know the same Savior that we know. To make sure the world around us can know that we need to get them in touch. We need to make sure they meet each other. Right? That's why we're called with the Great Commission to go out and teach all nations. That's why we're called to go out and preach the gospel. Who's going to do it? The government? The government going to send people out till they hear about Jesus? Absolutely not. It's going to be the church house that does it. It's going to be a fervent church, a church that's living prosperously on purpose, glorifying God. It's going to take the gospel to those, to people outside these walls. It should be a fruitful greeting that people may know that they can have life and have it more abundantly. Hey, it's the church that's going to do that. I'm still excited to all the days that we spent coming up on Saturday going knocking these doors. Right, walk these sidewalks, I don't know how many times. I mean, I remember going through some neighborhoods and people going, y'all are back, you're back again? Like, yeah, I knocked on your house for 3 years in a row, haven't I? Just felt that way. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but it just felt that way. I've seen you again. You're going to reject me again, aren't you? You're going to reject Christ again, aren't you? Yeah. I already know this story. We've read it a couple of times. But again, I'm going to go out. It's a joy. Have you led somebody to the Lord? Have you experienced the joy of showing somebody how they can be saved and seeing them call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? That's a fruitful greeting. They're now made alive. They pass from their trespasses and pass from their sins into life. What a fruitful greeting. And it's the church that's fervent, the church that's faithful, the church that's prosperous that's going to do that. And so I think the message is clear for this new year. I wish you health and prosperity. I wish you health and happiness. I want you to be saved. God wants you to be saved. He wants you to be happy. How are you going to be happy? Following His Word. It's it's a faultless goal. Follow His Word. Follow His Word. It's not going to lead you astray. It's not going to lead you wrong. Hey, you have a faithful God. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. Hey, who else promises you that? Nobody. Somebody may, but they can't keep it. The only one who can promise and keep it is God Himself. And He does. He's a faithful God. I love the fact that we have a fervent gathering. I can come. You look forward to Sundays? Oh, I got to go to church again. Oh, I get to go to church. I remember back in the day, I lived in Forney. I drove 45 minutes to get here. Yeah, the drive was a burden, but we came looking forward to being here. Hey, if I didn't look forward to being here, I'd have found somewhere else to go, I'll tell you that. But it was a fervent gathering, just like I see today. And it's our job to help people to get that fruitful greeting, that they meet the God of heaven. The Bible said that all the people of the earth, didn't leave anybody out, did they? That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Hey, the world has come up with quite a few gods, haven't they? They got to have somebody tell them that there is none else. And that's a church that's happy. Church is prosperous, church is faithful, doing exactly what God has them to do. So that's what I wish for you in 2024, that all these things are true with your individual life and in your church life.